Thank you.
Okay.
So the first three questions go together, just what is your age, racial and ethnic identification, and gender?
I turned 66 yesterday. Happy birthday to
me. Happy birthday.
gender, male. What's the other question? I guess ethnicity.
How do you identify?
White, Caucasian, however you want to do that.
All right. And just to start, again, getting a background of you, apologies if you put this in that summary.
Doesn't matter.
But if you could tell us about your formal education.
Bachelor of Science and Engineering from Princeton University, 1972.
And your profession at the moment?
Combination of retired and consultant. I do a bunch of consulting.
Great. So starting at the beginning, I guess, right out of college, what were some of your first jobs prior to coming to EPA?
I came straight here.
You did come straight.
Yeah. Well, EPA was formed in 1970.
Yes.
And I graduated, you know, from a high-end university engineering degree in 1972. I had several job offers from EPA. Well, the way to put it is when EPA was formed, I was in college and I knew what I wanted to do, and that was to go work for EPA. So I came to EPA. I should have brought it to show you, but I have. But my badge, because EPA was being created, it was kind of agglomerated from different pieces of different, you know, different bureaus and things and different agencies put together in different buildings around the Washington area. And so I had a job offer from a one of the job offers I got from EPA was here in the D.C. area in air pollution enforcement. So I came here straight here as a GS5 Step 1. And my badge number, which I'm very proud of, is 399.
Wow.
Of all of them they ever issued. I still have it.
So that means you were the 399th
yep.
person ever.
That they gave a badge to. Right.
That's amazing.
Right.
Right. So,
I was here from the very beginning. Here from the very beginning.
And you said in college you had your eyes set on the EPA right away.
It was created. I knew what I wanted to do.
What made your interest pique in that?
Well, I was... in engineering in the early 70s was all about aerospace, electrical, especially emergence of computing as a potential kind of line of inquiry, and other stuff which I was not interested in. So between aerodynamics and electrical stuff, I didn't like either one of them. What I liked was law.
Okay.
And so I got really interested in legal issues, and particularly the use of water rights and water use and pollution emerged in the early 70s of water as a real problem. I wrote my thesis on that. And EPA was formed right in the middle. And it was like, eureka, like, wow. Bingo, hello. So it was so clear.
Wow.
So I knew exactly what I wanted to do. And I came here, and that's what I did.
Were a lot of people on campus actually looking towards that, or was it more of an...
As far as I know, I'm the only one.
Wow. But for you, that sounds like...
Right. Well, this is... See, I was in the last class. You were Harvard, right?
Yes, I was.
I was the last class at Princeton that was all male.
Oh, wow.
And I was
like... That's amazing, too.
What was really amazing is I came from West Texas, a little small town, and I didn't even know it was all male. I got there and discovered there were no girls. So it was like, I think I made a big mistake.
And then it
but
changed.
But then, just while I was there, co-education started. Same with Harvard, same with
and
Yale.
It amazes me actually how late Radcliffe was. I think it was 1991 that Radcliffe stopped giving out diplomas. The Harvard counterpart.
I thought Radcliffe still did give out diplomas.
They finally changed it to all Harvard.
Oh, okay.
I thought
you could just, like Barnard, you could still do it if you want to.
Maybe, but at least right now, they have the actual Harvard name on it.
Yeah, I was going to say it's all the same time. But anyway, just in the middle of that, lots of change going on. Vietnam War, you know, I was draft eligible, draft age, the other stories around that. But it was just so clear from the beginning that this is an area that needed work. I loved it. Like I said, I wrote my thesis on this without knowing what I was going to do. Water rights and water use.
You actually got to continue. Did you continue any work similar to your thesis? Then
I ended up doing that, but I started off in air.
Okay.
Doing air enforcement, copper smelters. I mean, this is a time it was particulate matter was just I mean, the predecessor of the Clean Air Act was it was state-driven, same with the Water Act. It was all state-driven. States had set their ambient air standards. They could do what they wanted to do. And the imposition of a federal superstructure over it happened in 1970 for air and then 1972 for water. But I started with air. And so it was the first imposition of federal oversight on states and sort of federal standardization, if that's the right word, is just sort of like setting minimums for the states had to perform within them. Mm-hmm. And so I was working on enforcement and trying to make sure the rules that EPA did were enforceable. And this is when Nixon was president. Bill Ruckelshaus was at EPA the first time. It was a great time. I mean, I was a GS, like, I mean, I was five, technically. It was like getting paid nothing. Literally, $100 a week was the take home.
But it was something you were interested in.
I loved it. I loved my entire career there. Yeah. Loved it. Still do.
There's a lot to talk about. This is great. You mentioned federal, this was the first time there was sort of standardization of looking at water programs and air programs.
Right.
What was the general sentiment at the time for people working in the EPA about that? You said you were excited, but do you feel like...
Well, it's hard to answer that question precisely. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to look at your phone.
I'm just going to put it down so it doesn't buzz.
It's hard to say, because I was just this little schmuck. You know, I was off in this little office in Rockville. Mm-hmm. Before this whole complex was created by Carol Browner, we were all down at Waterside Mall.
I heard about that.
Yeah. This is before that.
Oh, wow.
This is why they were building Waterside Mall. Spiro Agnew's nephew was developing that thing. And it was non-compliant with all kinds of code. It had all kinds of problems to it. But we were literally in different buildings all around the area because there had never been an EPA. They just created it. They just took these, like, you know, pesticides. It was an ag. The air office where I was was an office or kind of a bureau in HEW, but they were physically separated. So I was actually up in Rockville. To answer your question, I had no clue. I didn't even know where these other parts of EPA were.
Because they were separate still.
Much less people who were more senior or anything. Wow. All I knew was it was a wide open field. People were more than willing to let you do what made sense. There was the law. The Clean Air Act was in place. Yeah. People working on regs. Regs had to get out. They all had deadlines. Managers.